You are muted, Judge.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair. I think both Ntate Makume are muted.
I think so. How are you, CEO?
Re khona le kae pap?
Re khona, re khona.
Eh, ra leboga.
Ra leboga, re leboga kudu.
Ka matla.
Maybe o boile Ntate Makume gore he is muted.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you, Judge?
I'm well and yourself, sir.
I'm okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, no, it's a Friday afternoon. I hope you wanted us to see you earlier, but unfortunately, when I only finished after 12, just before lunch, so we could not log in.
No problem. Originally, we were scheduled for 2,
yes.
So you are on time. No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are we waiting for other members of the committee?
Yes, we left with 2 minutes.
So we
start exactly at 2.
All right, okay. Oh, yeah, we still have 2 minutes. No, that's fine.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And where's the minister? Honorable minister, is he around here? No,
he will not be coming today.
Okay.
Yes, we were with him on Tuesday.
Okay.
Yes.
So you
are leading the delegation from Legal Aid South Africa.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
The CEO. Mantiti, is Velna joining us? Is it Velna? Oh yeah, I see Velna. Velna. Advocate. No, no?
Hi, Judge. Hello, everybody. I'm just standing in for Patrick while he's going on honeymoon. I'm here.
All right. Okay, welcome, Velna.
No, Chairperson, don't be surprised by me coming back. I also play a role at Legal Aid.
I'm very happy. I'm very happy that you're here.
Thank you. Pandalane,
it's a long time. Okay, Pandalane, now you're welcome.
Thank you, Judge.
Yes.
No, I'm very happy.
Afternoon, Judge and Chairperson. Myself is William Gumete. So.
Yes, good. Good to hear voice, Prof. Mm.
So, Legal Aid South Africa, they're surprising each other here.
we've got deputies who deputize for the chairs of the committees on air. So, like a soccer team, we've got reserves.
Reserves, very strong reserves. Very strong reserves. Now I can see.
Yeah. Yes.
No, thank you very much. It's now 2:00. Let's start. Would like to welcome the team led by Judge Makume from Legal Aid South Africa and the CEO who is leading the administration. Today we'll be dealing with the APP and the budget of Legal Aid South Africa. We would now give this opportunity to Judge Makume to make his opening remarks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manganisha, Chair. I am, as Chair of Legal Aid, I'm accompanied today by the CEO, Ms. Kola, Mantiti Kola, and then Advocate Velna Lumley is standing in for Patrick. She is the acting CLE. And then I've got the Professor William Gumede, who is one of the board members and deputy chairperson of, I think it's REMSEC or the audit committee. And then Mr. Pandelan, who's the representative of the Minister of Justice, is also a board member. I'm not aware of any other deputy chairperson. Mr. Will probably be joining us later, or the deputy chairperson. Later. Chair, the annual performance plan was submitted to the executive authority on the 31st of January 2022. And we also know that it was tabled before Parliament on the 23rd of March for the 7th of April 2022. So we believe that members of this committee have had sight of the report, which will be presented to you by the chief executive officer. Over to you, Mantiti, and thereafter we'll take questions.
Thank you very much, Judge Makume. CEO, you would have received a correspondence from ourselves indicating that presentations are taken as read. We have gone through a presentation. So you'll be given 30 minutes to just talk to the salient points of your presentation so that we can have time for questions and answers.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good day to all honorable members. As the chairperson has already acknowledged, members of the board, that's our board chair, Justice Makume. Our deputy chair, Ndate Mvundlela, will join us shortly, and also the REMSEC chairperson, Mr. Leseilani. And we have in our midst, Professor Gumede, who's the deputy chair of our audit committee. And from the management side, I have the chief operations officer, Mr. Setopo Mamuteti, the chief financial officer, Ms. Tinzwalo Mufukeng, who's her first appearance here. And also we have the acting national operations executives, Ms. Mpo Khabi, also her debut appearance, and also the acting CLE, Advocate Valna Lambly. And also from the board members side, we do have our acting solicitor general, who is a shareholder representative, Dade Pandelani. And I also like to acknowledge senior officials from the department, if there are any in our midst.
You can proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Our presentation outline will cover the annual performance plan 2022-2023 and the budget that's been allocated for this financial year as well. And what we have included, which was not part of the brief, was an update on the Land Rights Management Unit based on our discussion in the prior meeting. And we also have in our midst the new executive for Land Rights Management Unit of Legal Aid, Mr. Thabiso Mbenze. So we are pleased to present the APP and the budget to the committee. This slide just affirms our vision and mission and our values that guides us in our conduct of the business. You will recall, Chairperson, that this annual performance plan for 2022-2023 is the third year of our 2020-2025 strategy document. But most importantly, this is the first time that we include the new responsibility that pertains to legal representation for land rights. We took over the facility on the 1st of January 2022, the last quarter of 2021 and 2022 financial year. And the transfer would not have been possible without the cooperation of the Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Development, Department of Agriculture, Land Reform, and Rural Development, Public Service Administration, and National Treasury, and our Board of Directors, who made sure that whilst the funding was still being negotiated, they accorded us the seed funding to start the function. And also a special thanks to our internal land task team led by the legal executive for land rights units, Mr. Thabiso Mbeze, our CFO, our corporate legal manager, and also our senior financial manager, and also our CLE were part of that task team. So for all involved, thank you very much for ensuring that we were able to take over the function in the last quarter of 2021-2022. Despite our pleas for no budget cuts in the previous meetings, we started this year on the back foot with a baseline reduction of 230 million, 125 million for compensation of employees, and 105 million for goods and services expenditure. The 230 million baseline budget cut will adversely affect our ability to fulfill our mandate. So that's what we just wanted to bring to the committee. And in the next three slides, slides 6 and 7.
Ms. Mandete, yeah, yes, thank you. The slides were not showing, now they are showing.
Okay. In this summary of the APP, in slide 6, 7, and 8, we're just outlining the four dimensions of our strategy performance management tool, the balanced scorecard. And it depicts 13 outcomes and 16 programs per the balanced scorecard perspective. The first dimension, client, community, stakeholder, and shareholder, relates to our core function, that's the legal delivery for criminal, civil, for land, our legal advice, and also our how we account to our shareholder, the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services, and how we collectively contribute to the functioning of the justice and legal sector. So those three slides will outline the outcomes and programs per balanced scorecard. So I will then move to the actual APP, which then starts on slide 10. Our first program under client, community, and stakeholder and shareholder relates to the criminal legal aid delivery. And if you look at our average planned court coverage for district court, we are decreasing. From last year's 86%, we are now going for 80%. And this can only be attributed to the budget cuts. And for average planned for regional court, we still are targeting 90% coverage. And for the high court, all legal matters will be covered. And for our civil legal aid delivery, we noticed that there's a decrease in matters that we're able to take, and 90% of the matters are taken care by our internal legal practitioners, 10% by Judicare, and about 3,000 is taken care by our cooperatives. Then we have the new function where we provide legal representation and advice to clients in land matters. And there we plan to have 800 new matters with a budget of 57 million. The 57 million, as you'll see in the budget slides, comprised of a 24 million that was availed by the board from the previously approved retained surplus, and also 33 million that was availed by the Department of Justice. In terms of our general advice, that general advice is provided for our, by our general advice line
and also for paralegals across our footprint. And that's a demand-driven target. With regard to strategic litigation, we plan to do 16, and also you'll also notice the decrease in number due to the impact of the budget cut. We also strive to contribute to the justice cluster by attending all national and provincial efficiency enhancement structures. And on a quarterly basis and once a year, we do provide our accounting, our executive authority, the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services, we according the 4 quarterly reports and 1 annual report. And then when we go to the finance and sustainability, which is a major component as well, following our core business, that's where we strive to have a balanced budget. Given the budget cuts, how do we still pursue our mandate in a cost-effective way to make sure that we fall within the budget? And also one of the key focus areas is to make sure that our financial reporting, annual and mid-year financial statements are compliant with the relevant standards, and we endeavor to comply 100% with all statutory requirements. In terms of our risk-based audit coverage plan, we plan to achieve 95% of the audit coverage plan that is approved by the audit committee, utilizing our internal audit capacity. And in terms of the functioning of the board, I think the numbers of the members in this meeting attest to the fact that we do have a properly constituted board that provides strategic direction and maintain oversight of performance against strategic plan and APP. From time to time, we review the Legal Aid SA Act, Legal Aid Regulations, and Legal Aid Manual to make sure that they are responsive. We do that in every 2 years or as and when required. And in terms of Program 13, we endeavor to comply 100% to the triple PFA, PFMA, and also all relevant national treasury regulations. And in terms of our staffing plans under employee and organizational capacity, innovation and learning perspective, our recruitment drive, we still say it's at 95%, but given the budget cut that we alluded to earlier of about 235 million for the year under review, we find it very difficult to attain even that 95%. We adopt a very conservative approach in ensuring that we always between 90 and 95, just to make sure that we are afloat. And in terms of our investment in developing the staff, we also are constrained because of the budget cuts. We don't do as much as we'd love to do in the skills development space. And in terms of the employment equity, we have an approved employment equity plan 2020-25 that we're still not meeting, and the targets are enumerated below. And also a big focus would be for this financial year to make sure that we achieve the targets for senior management on the employment equity, which the board is closely monitoring. And in terms of our IT, VPN or virtual private network is connected to all sites and available at 95%. We've been able to work remotely for the past 2 years, and we're able to fulfill or to achieve what we set out to do in terms of our APP and in terms of our business plan. The IT hardware capacity, we make sure that it's aligned to business needs and available most of the time. But even here, we are constrained by the budget cuts. And in terms of cybersecurity cybersecurity, in 2019, there was a study that was commissioned. And from that study, we have a cybersecurity network that our IT team is constantly investing in, assessing from time to time
just in this past financial year, we had two external penetration tests that proved that we are secure, and areas that they have identified, we are actively pursuing. In terms of the budget, I've already alluded on the what's been allocated to us and on the baseline budget cuts. The only problem that we would like to bring to the committee attention is the fact that any budget cut for legal aid impact on service delivery, as 80% of our budget is spent on employee costs. So we have little room to maneuver when we are confronted with a budget cut, as 80% of our budget is spent on employee costs. In terms of this budget, if you look at note 4, you'll see that we've been accorded 2,118,000,000. And in that amount, we include about 11.3 million for the appointment of new special commercial courts practitioners from DOJ, and also it's that 24 million on note 3 that we spoke about that the board made available as a startup capital for the new land rights management. And that was funding from that was previously approved by Treasury as part of retention of surplus. This then indicates budget allocation per expenditure. But what is interesting, it's the fact that I alluded earlier on that if you look at the budget allocation summary, you will see that almost 80% is towards salaries and related costs, and 6.3% is other direct expenditure that are directly linked to service delivery, and that would be your judicare, your cooperation agreements, and all those aspects that we're doing in pursuit of our mandate. Our operation budget, it's 12%. That is small, and there's still no flexibility in that 12% in the sense that it's mostly contractual obligations that include office rental, cleaning, and white area network. And we only have about 2% for the replacement of capital assets according to our capital asset replacement project. This line only shows the baseline budget reductions, as we touched on, and also depict the also depicts the 23, the upcoming year, where we also envisaging a 5% cut of about 121,808,000. Excuse me, Chair. The impact of the budget cuts for the current year and also for the upcoming year, 2023-2024, will see us reduce the judicare direct expenses in this financial year by 8.8, in the next financial year by 7.6 million. The impact on staffing is because although our target is 95% of our approved establishment, we will not be in a position to appoint about 171 positions, permanent positions, because of that 125 million cut towards cost of employment. Can I ask one of my colleagues, the CFO, to please proceed? The flu is causing havoc on me. Yeah. CFO, if you may please proceed.
Tinsolo, please proceed, Tinsolo.
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yeah, please proceed. The CEO is still recovering.
All right.
Yeah. She has an impact on matters, yes.
Yes. So if we just follow on from where the CEO left, so The impact on the matters that we are able to manage and take on from a legal aid point of view, you know, we can see that in terms of we would be able to take on 86,000 matters, but we can see that because of the budget cut, we are not able to, because we cannot have, we don't have enough staff, you know, at the different offices, and also to be able to manage the number of cases that we would need to take on. So you can see that 86,000 matters would not be able to be managed in the 2021-22 and the 2022-23 financial year. So if we can move to the next slide. And in the next slide, we then look at the total impact on court coverage. And obviously, court coverage is one of our indicators in terms of the APP. So here we're just reflecting on if we continue to have a budget cut, and even the budget cuts that we already are experiencing, the 10% in the 2022-23 and the 5% in the 2023-24, we can see that you know, the impact from a district point court point of view and the regional court's point of view, that there will be less coverage in those areas. And I mean, in terms of our target, we are targeting, you know, the 90%. And obviously, because we have the budget cuts, we won't be able to meet those targets. And we had to also adjust, you know, our targets in order to ensure that, you know, the variation between our target and actual performance is not that huge. And if we also then look at the civil matters, when we can see that, you know, we would not be able to meet almost 11% of our civil matters, you know, in the 2021-22 and in the 2022-23 financial years, because again of the budget cuts. So I think, in terms of concluding, you know, around the APP and the budget, it is quite crucial from a legal aid point of view to have sufficient budget in order for us to meet our service delivery needs and targets, because the budget reduction has an impact on staff. You know, then the amount of staff that we have, we end up having to overwork, and they, you know, suffer from burnout, because obviously they have a lot of work to do, which could be, you know, managed by other staff members if we were able to have the right budget. So, you know, with that being said, you know, Legal Aid SA has a staff complement of people who are driven, who are, you know, interested in ensuring that we are able to meet the service delivery, and therefore we still strive to meet our strategic plan and our APP deliverables, because, you know, we in our hearts we understand that, you know, justice for all is quite important, and therefore we strive to ensure that we are able to meet those targets and the needs. And with all that, we want to also allay to stress to the committee and give comfort that, you know, we still maintain good governance and manage our finances in a proper way. As the CEO had indicated, that we do submit our quarterly reports, and, you know, we have had quite good audit reviews in the past financial years, that, you know, we are able to manage our budget efficiently and effectively. So the other issue that we have, and obviously because of budget cuts, is the issue around our employment value proposition. Understanding that, you know, we obviously attract professionals, and we would want to retain those professionals. And in order to do that, we need to ensure that our employment value proposition, you know, is you know, in line with, you know, the market, and therefore the budget cuts make us unable, you know, to reposition that in a way that, you know, would allow us to retain the staff complement that we have and also to attract, you know, the right caliber of individuals to manage our service delivery target. And another thing is that, you know, we do work a lot in trying to ensure that we are able to manage, you know, the risks that we are faced with in terms of how we need to deliver our services. And this is, you know, one of the key risks is you know, how we are able to be in most places and be accessible to, you know, to our clients. And, you know, the acquisition of office accommodation has been one of those thorns that we've experienced, which has actually, you know, and allowed us to start rethinking about how we would be able to deliver our service to our clients. But we should also mention that, you know, the DOJ has also allowed us some, or rather given us some office space, you know, in areas where we actually did struggle to acquire office space from, you know, from the landlords because of non-responsiveness of different service providers, but we have been able to be accessible to our clients. And I think, you know, the last point around the economic impact of COVID, I think we all have experienced that, and Legal Aid SA is not, you know, is not has not been spared from the impact of the pandemic. And I think it is also one of the reasons why we continue to stress the impact of the budget cuts on how it is affecting us in delivering our mandate. And obviously with the pandemic, there has been a lot more, you know, civil cases and other cases, you know, that we need to manage, but we cannot because of the budget cuts and the staff complements that we cannot completely fill. I think I will end it there, Judge. Thank you.
Yes, no, thank you. Mantit, is there anything that may have been left out that you want to, now that you're back? Mantit?
No, thank you very much. And thank you for the committee's indulgence. And thank you to the CFO, Judge. With the committee, that then concludes our session on the APP and the budget. So I will be in the committee chairperson, honorable committee chairperson's hands, whether they would like us to share the slides on the on the land rights management unit. If that's the case, I'm going to ask the land rights executive, Mr. Thabiso Mbenze, to take the committee.
Well, not unless there are any members of the portfolio committee want to ask questions on the presentation. Dr. Manganeshe? Are there any questions maybe from...
I think let's get the presentations, all of them, then we can ask questions.
All right. Yeah. Very well then. Thank you. Thabiso, please come in with the land rights matters.
Judge, just the CEO is really fine.
She's at home. I think we may have to excuse her for now. Mantiti, I think if you... don't mind, please make sure that you give yourself sufficient time, and if you don't feel pressurized to stay in this meeting, unless if you're not feeling comfortable, please, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yeah,
I will keep on driving for the team.
Okay, thank you, Thabiso. Please go ahead. The slides are now on.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Portfolio Committee members. Good afternoon, board members of Legal Aid. Good afternoon, colleagues.
Yes.
In December 2019, the Interministerial Committee on Land Reform recommended the transfer of land rights management facility to Legal Aid South Africa. Legal Aid South Africa Strategic Plan 2020 to 2025 stated that legal representation function undertaken by Land Rights Management Facility of the Department of Agriculture will be transferred to Legal Aid South Africa. So in February 2020, a task team comprising Department of Justice, Department of Agriculture, as well as Legal Aid South Africa was established to facilitate the interim transfer. From July to December 2021, Legal Aid South Africa started working alongside with the department in preparation for the agreed takeover date of 1 January 2022. On 1 January 2022, Legal Aid South Africa took over the management of the legal component of Land Rights Management Facility. The Land Rights Management Unit has received 33 referrals from the department to date since the 1st of January 2022. The Department of Justice is engaging National Treasurer to secure requisite funding to implement the Land Rights Management Facility's internal management and service delivery structure for land-related matters. You can move the slide. Legal Aid South Africa intends to follow a salaried legal practitioner model per province to provide legal representation to farm dwellers, labor tenants, as well as the land claimants. The internal land practitioners will be trained and capacitated to handle the land-related matters, and the quality legal assurance program will be adopted by the land rights management to ensure the delivery of quality legal services. To ensure a seamless handover, the land rights management utilizes the land rights management facility panel of practitioners attending to the pending matters. We are using the attorneys that were being used by the land rights management facility also to proceed with these matters. But there are conditions. They are supposed to be accredited on Legal Aid SA judicare system, and they have to be compliant as well with the National Treasurer CSD requirements. Okay, in the first 2022-2023, Legal Aid South Africa manages the Land Rights Management Unit from the national office until the requisite funding to cover the rollout of the proposed national footprint is received. So currently we are operating from the national office. The national office structure comprises the legal executive, senior legal practitioners, and administrative support officers. Resourcing of the provincial footprint will be phased in from June 22, subject to available funds. Senior and supervisory legal practitioner positions were advertised on the 14th April 2022. So the next slide will just depict the proposed land rights management facility staff. We have decided to divide the provinces into regions. Like KwaZulu-Natal will be divided into four regions, and each region will be allocated four legal practitioners, which is one supervisory legal practitioner, one senior legal practitioner, one junior legal practitioner, and one paralegal. Mpumalanga as well will be divided into four regions. Western Cape as well. Gauteng will be divided into three regions. Can move the slide. Okay, we can move again. These are the regions and the staff that each region will be allocated. This table below summarizes. Okay, this table below summarizes the Land Rights Management Unit financial requirements. National office, we've got about 10 positions. Those are salary expenses. There are operational expenses, legal expenses, as well as the once-off capital expenditure and the total. So this is just the financial requirements for the Land Rights Management Unit. We've got, as CEO mentioned, we've got about 24 million that was transferred. That was the retained surplus. And we've got another 33 million from the Department of Justice. We can move. Okay. These are the priorities for the Land Rights Management Unit. So we want to improve the internal delivery model with due regard to the demand for legal representation in land-related matters, and also support the Department of Justice in finalizing the MTEF funding with the National Treasurer to ensure a fully funded mandate, and also to collaborate with the Department of Agriculture as well as the Chief Land Claims Commissioner to optimize the land rights management unit operation, and also to train the internal legal practitioners and judicare practitioners, and also to roll out the provincial footprint to monitor the judicare partners' legal service delivery offering, as well as collaborate with all stakeholders in land justice cluster. You can move. Okay, thank you.
Yes, no, thank you. That takes us through the issue on land rights. I think what is left, Mantiti, is the, you've dealt with the budget already, have we not?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
We have covered, Judge.
Yeah, we've covered that. So that would be the land rights issue as the last matter. Am I right, Mantiti?
Yes, Chair, we have covered the APP, the budget, and the additional component with the indulgence of the committee on an update on our LRMU.
Thank you. Thank you very much, CEO and the COO, as well as the Mr. Tabiso. Mr. Monganish and the Portfolio Committee, I think right through our presentation, you've heard the word budget cut. I think it is becoming very monotonous, but it's something that we cannot run away from. It's there. However, we can assure you from the board that our staff is doing, through the leadership of the CEO, is doing everything to try and meet and mitigate the shortcomings that we are expecting. I must also indicate that as far as court coverage and the shortfalls that we're going to experience, that we will be talking to private sector to see how they could be in a position to assist. When I talk about private sector, I'm talking about the Legal Practice Council, besides judicare services, to see how they can be in a position to assist. But that's something that is still in the pipeline to be discussed, because of what we can expect. We must understand that our biggest problem is the constitutional mandate that we have. And with the district court, the figures showing that the district court is the one that is going to be suffering most. That is where we're going to be picking up a lot of problems and complaints that legal aid is not fulfilling its constitutional mandate. So we are indicating this once more. The minister is aware of this also, that we really would like to see to it that we don't get unnecessary flack and criticism. People should know that because of budget cuts, we cannot do anything more. Thank you. I leave over to you, to portfolio committee members who have questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Judge Magume, and to members of the Executive of Legal Aid for the presentations. Members, that is the those are presentations from Legal Aid South Africa. Are there any questions or comments? It is Honorable Horn, Honorable Nivo Drachens, and Honorable Glenis Breitenbach in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon from my side, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, allow me firstly to address the or ask some questions about the last part of the presentation around the land rights management unit. Our understanding, Chair, was that along with the transfer of the mandate, there would have been a transfer also of some funds from the Department of Agriculture rural development and land affairs, of, and if not funds, at least a portion or a part of the vote. So it's not quite clear from the presentation whether that in fact has materialized. So I would want to firstly know whether that in fact did happen and how that is factored in. And if that did not happen, what is the context or the background to the failure to ultimately ensure that a part of that budget vote from that department is then transferred to Legal Aid South Africa. And then in relation to that, secondly, Chair, if I understand slide 34 correctly, there is, in terms of the proposed staffing of all of the provinces and regions, an immediate shortfall for this year of 50 million. So the first question is how will effect be given then to making the unit function in all provinces? And the second is if it is about savings and surpluses, then of course it's quite clear that is not necessarily going to be there in years to come. So can Legal Aid South Africa, under the circumstances, afford to start appointing people, or are they going to go the full judicare route for now in respect of these matters? And then lastly, we as this committee, that's now in terms of the Land Rights Management Unit, we as this committee, we're dealing with the Land Court Bill, which of course affords the Legal Aid South Africa a responsibility for a whole lot of matters under this bill. And our understanding is that it is also once again an increase in mandate. And it was noted at the time that Legal Aid South Africa has indicated that the bill in respect of their responsibility was in no way costed. So can Legal Aid South Africa inform us whether there has been any developments in this regard and whether they've been involved in a costing process? Then, Chair, in respect of the budget cuts and the baseline reduction, I must immediately say that the slides 23, 24, 25 creates a very worrying picture. And I would assume, and I would maybe just want to get that confirmation from Legal Aid South Africa, that this reduction in their ability to maintain the previous coverage in district and regional courts were, of course, ameliorated somewhat by the fact that due to COVID, fewer cases were enrolled in our courts over the last 2 years. So I have a sense that the then budget cuts did not necessarily have the foreseen impact. But then, Chair, and this is merely a statement, maybe Legal Aid South Africa can react to it if they so wish. If we are there now to address backlogs, and if we are to assume that enrollment of new cases will not stop, then it might even be that there is a slight underestimation of their ability or to maintain that coverage in our criminal court. So I don't know whether they have factored that into their planning. Then the two last questions I have, Chair, is in respect of firstly the remote working costs. So we've been informed that there was an expense of about 440,000 rand per month on data costs due to remote working, but it would seem, and there is still some uncertainty around the future trajectory of the pandemic, but it would seem that the idea now is to allow for a full return to office in the public sector. So I don't know what is the plans of Legal Aid South Africa in this regard, and how do they foresee that expense then shrinking or not in the year to come? And then lastly, Chair, in respect of the issue of office accommodation and the whole idea around cohabitation with other government departments, and we noted that with thanks. Legalize South Africa says that Department of Justice has in some places already accommodated them. And I'm not necessarily criticizing the move. I mean, if one looks towards savings, of course, office accommodation can contribute in that regard. The one thing, however, I want to say, thinking back to my years in practice, is that there used to be and I'm choosing my words carefully, but a perception amongst the criminally accused that the Legal Aid South Africa legal practitioners were, as it was called in the corridors of courts, government lawyers. And at some stage, Legal Aid South Africa did a lot of work to let's say address that perception that ultimately the service one will get from legal aid practitioners would not be substandard, and that those practitioners would not be beholden to prosecutors and really the state or the government. So that let's say that necessary separation which then creates a bit of a more of a perception of independence, I think were established. And I'm worried, and I want to know whether Legal Aid South Africa has considered this, whether if there is to be a full-scale cohabitation specifically with Department of Justice, whether we will not unfortunately reverse those gains. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Neville Drachmans.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. No.
What we will do, allow all members to ask questions, and thereafter the leader of East South Africa can respond.
Thank you. That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much to the team from Legal Aid South Africa. Thank you for your presentation. I am mindful of the difficulties under which you operate, especially with the continued budget cuts. And sometimes, you know, when we ask the questions, you know, we know that you are restricted by budget cuts, but I will ask anyway. I would like to add to my colleague who's just spoken about the Land Rights Management Unit. On your slide, you indicated the provinces, regions, and number of staff members. I'd like to give you an example. So in Western Cape, would you mean like there is 4 staff members covering the entire Western Cape, or, you know, the numbers that you mentioned for the each provinces and the regions, if you could just clarify that, because if it is just 4 practitioners for a province like Western Cape, that would be indeed a lot of work, especially a province like Western Cape, where there's a lot of farm-related issues. My constituency in particular is in, well, the office is in Malmesbury, but the area it's in the Swartland, so it covers 3 municipalities. So it's actually the Swartland, Saldanha, and the Cape Metro is part of it. So it's quite a vast area. So to come to my question, with the budget limitations and other limitations, how would you work this out in terms of the number of staff and the number of offices? And then my constituency office also faces a challenge. Malmesbury Legal Aid South Africa is in a building that is not accessible to the elderly and people with physical disabilities. Oh. So some of these people will need the assistance of Legal Aid South Africa, but the lawyers will not go out of the building and the people cannot access the building. So I'm wondering if Legal Aid South Africa, if the staff or the lawyers can make some kind of compromise to meet the people who cannot access the office because the office itself does not provide access to those individuals, the elderly and people with physical disabilities. And I would also like to ask in relation to the master's office, we have been hearing a lot about it and our community committee has done oversight in some of these offices. I would like to know if Legal Aid South Africa, your relationship, if there is any with the master's office and how to make the services accessible to the clients of Legal Aid South Africa. Is there a kind of relationship that facilitates access to master's services? And then in terms of the COVID pandemic, we've been encouraging people to vaccinate and, you know, to reduce, that will be in reduction of the seriousness of the illness. Did Legal Aid South Africa provide any assistance to the employees or any of those who were not willing to vaccinate? Did they provide any kind of mitigating circumstances for them to either not go back to the office? And also, I mean, if there's another, just interpreters waiting for clarification. So, yes, so in other organizations, other workplaces where the staff have refused to get vaccinated, there are mitigating circumstances. So how has Legal Aid handled the issue of employees who refuse to get vaccinated? And then my next question would be, the Department of Justice is setting up or has set up sexual offences courts and will set up more. Legal Aid South Africa, is the organization prepared to assist the victims who have to come before the sexual offences courts, particularly these new courts that are coming into effect? And with consideration of the budget cuts, you know, will Legal Aid South Africa be able to provide those services to the victims in those particular courts? Those would be my questions for now. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, Legal Aid South Africa.
Before Honourable Breitenbach, Honourable Nevot Drachans, you talked about the court, in fact, the offices that are not accessible. Is that the only building around there? Could you not explore once the contract or the contract between the
Sorry, Chair. Yes, that is the. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that is the only office of Legal Aid South Africa that covers the three municipalities. You know, this is what I was informed by the staff members when I came to Malmesbury. And also parts of Atlantis is also included. This Legal Aid office services parts of Atlantis and Saldanha, and the Legal Aid practitioners will not go outside, even just outside the building, to meet the clients. And this office services a huge area, as I've indicated.
So there are no other office buildings.
Well, Chair, I would not know about that. My constituency office has indicated, I mean, the office itself has a lot of space. My constituency office, I would not know about the other buildings in the area. I can only speak for my constituency office.
Thank you very much, Honorable Glenys Breckenbach.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon to everybody. I've been largely covered by my two colleagues, but I would like to know from Legal Aid, the department has been, and the National Prosecuting Authority have been setting up specialized commercial crime courts across the country, one in every province now. I'm not entirely sure that there's a demand for them in every province, but nevertheless, does Legal Aid have the capacity to properly accommodate dealing with the workflow that will arise from those courts? And what training do Legal Aid representatives get, more particularly with regard to what specialized training do they get with regard to sexual offenses and more particularly to complex commercial matters? Is there any special training that they get in order to be able to deal with those matters? And then just the final question is, the expenditure on data has increased exponentially as a result of people working from home to quite a high amount per month. Is this a sustainable issue? Does the budget of Legal Aid allow them to continue with this with this expenditure, or how are they planning to deal with that expenditure? Because it's quite a lot of money. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Breckenbach. Honorable Nevo Trachans, do you want to come back again?
Yes, Chair. Apologies. I had one more question with your permission.
Proceed.
In KwaZulu-Natal, your satellite office burned down. And I would like to know if there's an update regarding that office. Was another office set up, or what, you know, if you could just give us an update on that matter. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Judge, just a matter of interest, the CEO, when you read newspapers and you look at the salaries between Legal Aid South Africa and the NPA, at first glance, from state advocates upwards, there seems to be a disparity wherein the NPA seems to be paying more than you do. Are you not experiencing a situation where your Legal Aid attorneys and advocates who are mainly dealing with criminal matters are leaving you and to moving towards the NPA?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yes, thank you, CEO. I think you may proceed. I think the staff members and the CEO will divide their answering to themselves. I'll also come in where I can. Please take over, Mantiti, if you okay.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Just on the latest observation by the Honorable Chair relating to salary disparities between ourselves and the NPA. We do, from time to time, have exodus of our staff to NPA, especially due to the salary expectations that they receive from on the other side. With regard to the land rights management, I just want to assure members that there was an undertaking by the Minister of both Minister of Agriculture and Justice that this will be a funded mandate. And the joint task team between DOJ, Agriculture, Legal Aid, and National Treasury has so far managed to enable the transfer of the 33 million from the Department of Agriculture, and we get it via the DOJ. Hence, we say we received it from the DOJ. And the team also has prepared an MTEF allocation That was unfortunately late, and we will get an MTEP allocation in January from the midterm budget. And the other aspects on the land management unit, on whether we're going to roll out, in the presentation we specifically mentioned that we will not embark on an aggressive recruitment until we get those funds, the MTEP allocation, and also that there's agreement on the contingent liability on the cases that we took over. So there is a constant engagement between these departments on the contingent liability and also on the funding for this. But so far, we got the 33 million from agriculture. And the Land Rights Management Unit executive will talk to the rollout, and we will adopt a very conservative approach in capacitating, especially the regional footprint, because we cannot embark on an aggressive recruitment when we have not had the MTEF allocation. With regard to the question relating to legal aid practitioners, we guard our professionalism with jealousy, and there is no plan for full-scale cohabitation. We only cohabit where we have problems in identifying office accommodation or where we have problematic landlords. The issue of the master's office, I think Advocate Werner will take. On the COVID vaccination, the COO, and then on the sexual offenses, I think the acting NOE can come in. Thank you. And then the land rights management executive can proceed. And yes. Also on the satellite for Bulwa, the NOE. Thank you.
Before you proceed, Honorable Breitenbach, is that a new hand or an old hand?
She can't hear you. I think she's muted. Oh, she can hear you, but she's muted.
She's muted.
Yeah.
I think it's an old hand. Maybe this person.
Yeah. Yes, I think Tabiso, please proceed and respond to the numerous questions on land rights which have been identified.
Thank you, Judge. With regard to our operation, currently we are operating from the national office. So we are 100% dependent on private legal practitioners. So they are assisting us, they are providing legal services to farm dwellers until we are able to build capacity within legal aid. With regard to the land court bill, the land court bill has not been costed as far as I know. With regard to the structure of the unit, what we are saying with regard to Western Cape, we are saying that Western Cape will be divided into four regions. So each region will be allocated four staff members, meaning that we'll be having about four, 16 staff members that will be allocated to Western Cape. I think that's all from the land rights management facility, because he always dealt with the issue of 33 million that we received from the department. Yeah. Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Chairperson.
COO COO, please, can you come in on the issue of office accommodation, or maybe?
Oh, okay. Good afternoon, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee.
And the COVID issues, yeah.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, Chairperson of the COVID, of the Portfolio Committee, members of the committee, Chairperson of Legal Aid, and board members and colleagues. Yes, maybe let me start with the data cost. Yes, the data cost is high, but what we are looking at, we are looking at how we can use this advantage of working from home by reducing our office space requirement, but not reducing the number of offices, but the office space requirement. And we think that will also sort of reduce the dent that is caused by the increase in data. And then we have also recently awarded a contract on VPN. and then terms of which offers competitive prices. And we're hoping that going forward, we'll see this cost going down. And we further monitor access to internet and prohibits access to certain sites. So I'm hopeful that going forward is this data cost will go down, and then it will be sustainable. And I must say again that we have adopted hybrid model. That means that some are working from home, but for a limited number of days, and some come straight to the office on a 5-day basis or shift, because more especially those who are coming who don't have any alternative or cannot work from home then they must come to the office. So our legal practitioners go straight to the court and only come to the office once a week, and then paralegals go to the office 5 days a week. And so is our advice line officers. Support staff, they come to the office at least 4 days a week, but only those that can work for from home on the day that they don't come to the office. And we think that with this hybrid model mode, then also our data cost will be reduced. And as for the vaccination, we do keep a record of employees who vaccinate. And as at the beginning of May, the percentage was at 54%. We have not adopted a compulsory vaccination policy because we are waiting for guidelines from the Department of Health. And as far as we know, there has not been that a guideline on whether we can request our employees to vaccinate or to force them to vaccinate. But however, what we do is with this vaccination at 54%, it's we keep on encouraging people to vaccinate. And then what we have done is we have targeted all the offices that we think that their vaccination its percentage or rate is lower, and with that it's we have workshops. And then we have sent also our HR guys to go there and persuade them to vaccinate. And but at the same time, it's we encourage our employees to wear a mask and also keep social distancing, so that at least we minimize the possibility of cross infection. And yeah, I think that's all that I have to respond to, Chair. Thank you.
I don't know who's going to respond to the issue around the inaccessibility of the Malmesbury office. Do you perhaps have any idea what the problem is? I think there's a question that from Bernard Devote. The Malmesbury office.
The Malmesbury office. I'm
Malmesbury.
The NOE will deal with the Bulwer and the Malmesbury's office. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. NOE?
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, Honorable Members of the Justice Portfolio Committee. Thank you, Chairperson of the Justice Portfolio Committee. With regard to specialized commercial crimes courts, what is happening is that we do have capacity. We received budget from the Department of Justice as we requested, and we have now made sure that there's capacity in all the courts that we have in the country that were created. And with regard to the sexual offenses courts, we also make sure that when every court is created, we ask for capacity in those courts. And we also have made sure that at all times we have trainings for these specialized courts. We have certain trainings that are dedicated to our specialized practitioners in the sexual offenses courts as well as in the commercial crimes courts. So they are well capacitated, and we have put aside our training budget so that it can be able to cover them. So we are covered on that area. And if anything, maybe if it happens that maybe there's any shortfalls in future, then we always discuss with the Department of Justice. And with regard to the Malmas Berry office, previously we have made a survey to make sure that all our offices are accessible. And with regard to Malmas Berry office, it means that they could not get any other offices except those offices, because sometimes in small areas, especially in small towns, we struggle to get accommodation. But what we are going to do, we'll follow up on the matter and we'll make sure that there's some way that they assist lines. And because in some of the satellite offices where we find offices like that, we usually make appointments and we usually inform clients that we can be able to see you in courts, and we ask for a small office in courts so that those offices can be, that is where the clients can be assisted. Our paralegals usually works in those offices so that they can be able to assist the disabled and the elderly. So we'll take it up with the provincial executive in that area so that all the clients can be assisted. And we will also make sure that in future, when we are looking for accommodation, when our contract expires, we are going to look for accommodation that is accessible. And most of the time when we look for accommodation, we also request our landlords to provide for lifts in areas where the area where it's not accessible, so that we can be able to access. So in the meantime, we'll see whether we can there can be a provision for a lift in that office. And with regard to the Balva satellite office, we have made temporary arrangements. While the office is being, they are still working on the bent office. Our property management is busy with accommodation and looking at what they can do. But in the meantime, our paralegals are able to assist people from the courts, because usually we ask for accommodation and office in the courts, where we'll be able to get all our clients assisted. So as in at present, the structure is being constructed and they are refurbishing the office so that we can be able to occupy it. But in the meantime, our practitioners are going straight to courts, and then the paralegal is assisting people in the court when people need assistance. I think that I've covered all areas. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I think Velna on the Master's Office and others.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Legal Aid South Africa has got a service level agreement with the Master's Office in terms of Section 18 free estates. These are estates that are of a minor value or where the value is less than 250,000 rand, and there are minor heirs involved. And this is in terms of our constitutional mandate, whereby we provide legal assistance in civil matters where the rights of a child is involved. So that in as far as our involvement with the Master's Office is concerned in terms of this, we currently have approximately 6,070 estates that we are dealing with. And we are constantly in consultation with the Master's Office to try and resolve issues of mutual concern. I have to say that we recently have had very fruitful interactions again, because as we all know, there have been some issues at the Master's Office, specifically in the fact that some key positions are vacant and there are people acting. But we have had, we've set up provincial committees whereby the provinces link with the master's offices to ensure that we that we handle these estates within the 12-month period that it needs to be handled with. So we are very confident that our cooperation agreement with the master's office is safe and sound, and that we will continue to monitor it, and when there are any issues, we immediately will take it up with the chief master, and that they are accommodating and very well happy to meet with us at any point in time. In as far as the question is with regard to the backlogs created by COVID and the, I think it was Honorable Horan that mentioned it, that there has been a backlog that was created during COVID, and that there could be a possibility that our court coverage and our ability to deal with the court coverage might be slightly understated. It is true that there was a backlog created during the COVID period, and that we are all very aware that that there is a backlog. Legal Aid South Africa are part of all the provincial committees and the national committee, looking at holistically at the backlogs and what the answers to those backlogs are. So our coverage is not understated, provided that there's no additional courts being established. I'm quite a bit aware that in a number of provinces, there is quite pressure to request Treasury and additional funding to create backlog courts or additional courts. If additional courts are created, then our coverage would be understated. Unless funding is made available for us on perhaps a project basis to cover these additional courts. If no additional court is made available, then our coverage is our coverage. We've got a practitioner per court model, and that model stays the same, and it's linked to the number of courts there are. What we are encouraging in terms of a backlog from Legal Aid South Africa is a focused approach to look at the type of matters or cases that are in the backlog system, to see whether some of them can be resolved by alternative dispute resolution mechanisms, to have a focused approach in terms of older ones, to see to prioritize the matters in terms of an age analysis. So I hope that answers the question.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. There's only one question which I think Thabiso has not answered, or the question that was raised right at the beginning by Honorable Mr. Horn in connection with the transfer of the funds, as well as the 50 million shortfall on slide 34. I'm not sure whether Thabiso and or the CEO is able to respond to that question, unless they have just been responded to.
CEO, could you please respond? I'm not sure whether you'll be able to respond.
She's still there.
Thank you, Thabiso. What I said earlier on, Judge and Honorable Members, was that there is an undertaking by both Ministers of Justice and Agriculture that this land mandate will be funded, because legal aid as it is, we are battling our own budget cuts on our core mandate. So we cannot take an additional responsibility that is not fully funded. But in terms of our service delivery model, we would like to have a legal practitioner across the national footprint. And for the beginning, we'll have a mixed delivery system where we still have the judicare, but eventually we want to build internal legal capacity. That is the reason why we're operating from national office currently, and we'll only be able to roll out the regional structures once we receive the MTEP allocation. and the contribution towards the contingent liability on the matters that we have, the 740 matters that we took over on the 1st of January. Thank you.
Thank you, Mantiti. If there are any questions that the honourable members have asked, maybe not feel that they've not been answered, could they please raise a hand and repeat that? Perhaps I could just, in response to a question that was asked by Mr. Horn about your late the lawyers being called government employees, that has not stopped, and it will not stop now. But it depends on how you perform. When we win cases, we are not regarded as government lawyers. When we lose, we're regarded as government lawyers. But so that's something that we're dealing with internally. And I think we have done quite a lot and been successful in a number of cases. And some people are beginning to understand that we are not, the fact that we are funded by government does not make us government lawyers. We have taken cases against the government just to prove that. And in fact, if you look at our the number of cases on call center that we do advises, I saw the number is about 26,000 people who call into our call centers. And that just shows that notion that we are government lawyers is in fact not really being taken seriously. Let me stop there and
thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much, Judge. But there is just a follow-up on Ms. Makume. Ms.
Abi.
Yes. I am just concerned with the fact that you are saying that lawyers would go to the office once a week, but most of the time it is from home to court and back home. I just want to get a clarity, especially those who are dealing with high court litigation, criminal matters, as to then if they go to the office once a week, where did they get quality time to do proper consultations? Where and when?
Chairperson, I was referring to the satellite office that has been down.
We can't hear you. I think there's something wrong with you. Can you improve on your system, please?
The problem?
No, it's still a problem. Yeah.
Can I step in for Mpo?
Yes, please, Velna. There seems to be a problem. Velna,
I think Mpo was referring to the satellite offices in terms of a satellite office, which does not house the High Court practitioners. But the Pretoria High Court and the Johannesburg High Court fall under me. The High Court practitioners would go in for consultations as and if when necessary. However, we do have to understand that the largest bulk of our clients in the High Courts are in custody and incarcerated. So most of the consultations happen at the correctional facilities, which is set up specifically during recess times. And then when we are also at court, there is an opportunity to consult there. So the consultations in High Court matters with our clients does not necessarily take place at the office. However, the office space is available and the High Court practitioners are required to go to the office on more occasions than just once a week.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
No, thank you very much. Members, are there any members who would want to make comments or ask further questions before we close?
Ms. Wilma Nieuwe-Drochens, hand is up.
Okay. Honorable Nieuwe-Drochens.
Okay, great.
So thank you very, very much to Legal Aid. To Legal Aid South Africa for your responses so far. My question has two parts. The one you've answered regarding COVID, but my second question relates to the labor disputes. It's basically legal disputes, labor disputes around people who don't want a vaccination and how companies are forcing them to. Is there something that, any work that's been done around that specifically? That's my question.
Thank you. We have not encountered any client that has approached us specifically with a case like that. If we are approached with a case like that, and even on a test case basis in our strategic litigation unit, we will quite gladly look at the merits of it and will be able to decide whether it is a case that we can put our resources behind and take on test. So we also would encourage NGOs and also any member of this committee that if they are aware of beneficiaries that could perhaps booster or be a participant in our strategic litigation unit, we can look at it and we can determine whether it is a test case that we can take to court.
Thank you, Velna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Over to you, Judge, for concluding remarks.
Well, yes, in conclusion, I want to express our appreciation to the Portfolio Committee for always being there for us as a public entity. Thank you very much for always being probing us with questions that build us. Thank you very much also for being there to speak on our behalf to the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Finance about our plight. And we hope that they will be in a position to see ourselves through this MTF period. And as I indicated, Legal Aid has got other stakeholders that we'll be talking to also to make sure that we do not do that badly. As I said, the private legal services will also be approached to come in and assist wherever possible. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Judge Magume, board members of Legal Aid South Africa, the executives that are present. Thank you very much for the presentations. We must say that you are an organization that always makes us proud. You are one of our star performers in the justice cluster. We will do whatever it takes to ensure that more resources are made available. But we are also encouraged by the innovation that we see, because approaching the legal fraternity to work more closely on pro bono work to try and assist to elevate part of your pressures, I think would if successful, would do some good for the organization and for the people of this country. We think that this financial crunch is going to be with us for some time, and the resources are becoming much smaller each year, so which demands of us that we should be much more creative around the resources we have. But that does not mean that the committee would not try and push National Treasury for more resources, because people who come to you are the most vulnerable people in our society. They've got nowhere to go. So you are the protector of our constitution at the coalface level. So we'll always have that in mind when we deal with the budget that affects the Legal Aid South Africa. But we are also pleased with your governance, with the way you look after the resources. The governance issues are in order. So you have plans that we can always trust that are going to be implemented. And that makes us to be always very proud that we have such model organization within our stable as the Justice Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much, Judge, and to your team.
Thank you very much for your kind words, sir.
Yes, so we still owe you. We know that we have not visited Legal Aid South Africa. We will make sure that even in other provinces where we visit, we did pay a visit to your office in Limpopo. We saw how we were housed there, but we still have to come and see to Johannesburg and to other offices, including the national office.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Ralebo.
Thank you very much. Stay well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Everybody go safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.